Hare Krishna, everybody. Welcome back to the daily readings of Srila Prabhupada's books. Apologize for being a little late. There's things going on over here. Our dear Abhaya Das Brahmachari is now on his way to Serbia. Maybe he's even arrived by now. And he'll be coming back on Friday. Until then, Shyam Kishore is holding down the fort. Welcome to him and thanks to him. We hope all of you are well and safe and happy, and we aim to add to that happiness tonight by reading you the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, part 2. But before we do, we're going to hear Srimad Bhagavata Mahima Stotra, a beautiful 5-verse stotra by Srila Sanatana Goswami, the author of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the basis. I mean, it's the basis of everything, but particularly it's the basis of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita as well. It goes like this. Sarva Shastrabdi Piyusha, Sarva Vedaika Satpala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnaja, Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems, of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavata Prabho, Kali Dvandudita Jitya, Sri Krishna Parivartita. O life heir of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. Paramananda Pataya Prema Barshak Shadayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostume. I bow down to you, who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. Madeka bando matsangin, madgudo man mahadana, mannistadaga mad bhagya, mad ananda namostute. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. Asadu sadutad dayin. Atini chochatakara hanamun chagadachin mam premnarit kantayospuda. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So, we've reached the first chapter of the second part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And we're getting some background here. Uttara has approached and asked these questions after the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita was spoken by her son, Parikshit Maharaj. Now she's asking for more. And she just got outlined, she just finished outlining the gradual process of going up through the different planetary systems to go to the spiritual world. Fantastic questions. We're starting with text 18. It follows that among devotees in Vaikuntha, there is equality, even in the special Vaikuntha perfections, such as living near the Supreme Lord or attaining a form like His, and a goal higher then Vaikuntha is unheard of. Commentary. Someone might think that even though all devotees in Vaikuntha share equally in the bliss of serving the personality of Godhead, some hierarchy of greater and lesser engagements can be discerned. Indeed, it seems that in Vaikuntha, the Lord's pastimes of supreme rulership and opulence are manifest more fully to some devotees than to others. Just as in the material world, the Lord is more intimately revealed to devotees who worship Him by Brahmasatra, the sacrifice of transcendental knowledge, than to those who worship Him at the grosser level of Karma Satra, mere ritual sacrifice. In Vaikuntha, some devotees, such as those stationed as doorkeepers at the boundaries of the Lord's kingdom, seem to be relative outsiders compared to devotees who have more intimate services, such as massaging the Lord's feet. Ultimately, however, in Vaikuntha, all these varieties of devotional services are equal, displaying but minor variations in the mood of dasya rasa in reverence. The many kinds of Vaikuntha perfection are equal manifestations of the same basic servitude. Those perfections include sarupya, having a transcendental body with four arms and other features like the Lord's, and samipya, living close to the Lord as one of His associates or servants. There are also other such perfections. Those others implied in this verse by the ending adao in the word samipya dao are attainments such as being posted as commander of the Lord's army or as a personal servant massaging the Lord's feet or dressing His hair. The perfection of sayujya, merging into the existence of God, is prized by impersonalists but is not found in Vaikuntha. Rather than a devotional perfection, sayujya is a form of impersonal liberation. Even demons who hate the personality of Godhead are sometimes given sayujya as a reward for constantly meditating on the Lord as an enemy. But anyone who has tasted devotional service of the Supreme Lord rejects sayujya. Someone might ask, but can a devotee in Vaikuntha achieve some special perfection by virtue of being exceptionally qualified? No, this verse replies. Since Vaikuntha is a place in which all desires are fulfilled, nothing there beyond the perfections already easily available remains to be achieved. Text 19. Of course, all the devotees in each distinct region of Vaikuntha are completely happy, for they have all achieved what by their own specific natures they desire. Commentary. Granting that devotees in select parts of Vaikuntha are empowered to enjoy special privileges according to their unique devotional moods, there may still remain doubt about where the most confidential devotees of the Lord reside. Within the realm of Vaikuntha, a few special places do exist, such as Ayodhya and Dwarka, where more intimate forms of pure devotional service are manifest. For each replica abode of the Lord on earth, there is an original abode in Vaikuntha. As stated in scripture, on this earth there are many sacred cities dear to the personality of Godhead, and all of them also exist in Vaikuntha, where they are revered for their importance in the Lord's various pastimes. Mother Uttara is speaking as if the liberated devotees of Vaikuntha represent all five varieties of Vaishnavas: Jnana Bhaktas, Shuddha Bhaktas, Prema Bhaktas, Prema Parabhaktas, and Premaptura Bhaktas. In fact, however, she speaks without much conviction because, as far as she understands, the devotees of Vaikuntha are not divided into such categories. Text 20. Uttara is continuing. They have all attained the ultimate limit of happiness, each in his own kind of ecstatic reciprocation with the Lord. But what place is destined for the exceptional devotees of the performer of the rasa dance? Commentary. Well, someone might ask, if there is a hierarchy of greater and lesser devotees in Vaikuntha, then only some of them are fully happy. Is that proper? Aren't devotees of the Supreme Lord, especially those who have attained Vaikuntha, greater than mere liberated souls? Don't they enjoy the highest happiness above that of liberation? The current verse clears this doubt. All the residents of Vaikuntha enjoy incomparable happiness, but some gradation of happiness still exists because each devotee relishes a mixture of ecstasies that make up his individual devotional mood, or rasa. It is natural, therefore, that according to a devotee's sthayi bhava, the predominating mood of his ecstatic rasa, he receive a particular degree and kind of happiness. Nonetheless, each devotee thinks that his happiness is perfect and complete because it exactly suits his personality. Having acknowledged this, Mother Uttara next expresses her own doubt about the devotees of Krishna, whose spontaneous love for the Lord is greater than all other varieties of prema. In Vaikuntha, is there a special place where those devotees can enjoy the supreme happiness they deserve? Within Uttara's question are the following implications. The Shuddha Bhaktas, in their worship of the Supreme Lord, enjoy greater ecstasy than the Jnana Bhaktas. But although the devotees in Vaikuntha find themselves in a hierarchy that would normally cause envy, quarrel, and other kinds of conflict, those devotees are free from jealousy and other faults, which are the root causes of pain and lamentation. Without this purity, they could not reside in Vaikuntha. Being affectionately attached to one another in sublime prema, they all feel ever-increasing happiness in their worship of the Lord. As already mentioned, the Shuddha Bhaktas, whose devotion to the Lord does not depend on the pleasure of life in Vaikuntha, are higher than the more conditional Jnana Bhaktas. That being so, what about the status of devotees still more elevated? What about the Lord's best servants, the Prema Bhaktas, who are indifferent to all possible selfish concerns? What about the Lord's supreme friends, the Prema Parabhaktas, who receive his unconditional special favor? And what about his closest loved ones, the Prematura Bhaktas, who are bound by the most intimate relationships with the Lord and who live only for his satisfaction? What special place can be found in Vaikuntha for those super excellent devotees? The Skanda Purana explains that exceptional regions do exist in Vaikuntha. As mentioned before, Vaikuntha has transcendental cities such as Ayodhya and Dwarka, and like their counterparts on earth, they are filled with the Supreme Lord's personal associates and paraphernalia. In those supreme places, the Lord is always present in his most attractive forms. Thus, for example, in the Ayodhya region of Vaikuntha devotees of the standard of Hanuman, constantly see the Lord of the Raghus, like Lord Ramachandra. I'll see this again. Thus, for example, in the Ayodhya region of Vaikuntha, devotees of the standard of Hanuman constantly see the Lord of the Raghus, Lord Ramachandra, attended by Sri Sita, Lakshman, and the rest of his entourage. Those devotees continue to enjoy the happiness of being his servants, just as they did while present with the Lord during his pastimes on earth. And their ambitions are fulfilled in every conceivable way. Similarly, in the Dwarka of Vaikuntha, devotees like Sri Yudhishthir and his family worship Krishna as the darling son of Devaki, the friend of Arjun, the younger brother of Balarama, the beloved of Rukmini and Satyabhama. The Pandavas continue to serve Krishna in their own homes with the same friendship as during his avatar. And also in Dwarka, the Yadus, including exalted souls like Uddhava, worship and serve Krishna as their own master, regarding him as more valuable than their wealth, their power, and their very lives. In the endless, manifold transformations of pure love, the Yadavas, their inner and outer consciousness, surcharged with bliss, enjoy as much happiness as they desire. In Vaikuntha, these devotees enjoy life just as they did when present with their most dear Lord on the earth, where they enjoyed the supreme good fortune of serving his lotus feet, receiving his mercy, relishing pure love for him, and sharing in his pastimes. That the Supreme Lord's earthly and Vaikuntha pastimes have these features in common does not diminish the greatness of the spiritual world. Because in the material or the spiritual world, all the Lord's devotees are objects of his infinite compassion. Even if devotees occupy higher and lower positions, the differences pale beside the inconceivably desirable, overwhelming ecstasies of pure love of God. Still, we should recognize a natural hierarchy in the varieties of devotional service. Because jnana-bhaktas harbor some attachment to knowledge, the pure ecstasies of prema do not develop in their hearts, even while they live in Vaikuntha. The transcendental happiness they deserve is confined mostly to their mental activities. Shuddha-bhaktas enjoy a greater happiness which enlivens all their senses through hearing and chanting about the Lord, remembering Him, and so on. And prema-bhaktas feel even greater happiness through all their internal and external senses because while serving the Lord and serving Him in various ways, they constantly meditate on Him with love. Prema-parabhaktas cherish yet a higher standard of happiness, which they taste in their friendly dealings with the Lord, in their talking freely with Him, and in their intense moods of separation and meeting. That transcendental happiness floods their entire being. And prematura bhaktas know the ultimate extreme of happiness. They are immersed in the unending and most intense loving expectation of seeing the Lord, sharing pastimes with Him, and exchanging countless intimate dealings with Him. Every fiber of their existence is surcharged with such happiness. which always exceeds their greatest expectations. Therefore, since various levels of sadhana bring various degrees of perfection, it is undeniable that in Vaikuntha, where happiness reaches its ultimate limits, some devotees enjoy more happiness and some less. And in the final issue, those who practice the highest mode of the Lord's devotional service achieve one last extreme of perfection, the ecstasy known only by those whose love focuses exclusively on the lotus feet of the divine paramour of the gopis. Relative to this, the position of all other devotees is inferior. The nature of Vaikuntha, the spiritual kingdom, is such that each devotee, regardless of his mood of devotion, feels that in pursuing the tendencies of his heart in his own relationship with the Lord, the happiness he tastes is unsurpassable. Still, Uttara wants to know what special destination awaits the Lord's most exceptional devotees, those overflowing with spontaneous love for the Lord, lotus feet of Sri Nanda Kishore. Text 21. They chant his names and are full of unique love for him. Indifferent to everything else, they want only to become servants of Sri Radha. Commentary. The devotees of Sri Radha, who are the dear most beloved of Lord Madangopal, are not impersonalists void of desires. They are fully confident that if Sri Radhika accepts them as her servants, everything they desire will be achieved, and more. The privilege of serving Sri Radha is the rarest goal of life, and it is fitting that this privilege be attainable only by executing the most excellent of sadhanas. That is to say, one can please her divine grace only by the sacrifice of purely chanting the names of Sri Rasa Rasika, the hero of the Rasa dance. In sweet voices, the servants of Sri Radha always melodiously and loudly chant Krishna's names. Such devotees are worthy to engage in such elevated service because their hearts are filled with the supreme variety of spontaneous, ecstatic love for Krishna. Text 22. If those special devotees attain only the same perfection as others, my heart will be left discontent. For such devotees as Nanda and Yashoda to reach only the same destination, to me, the very thought is intolerable. I'll read this again. If those special devotees attain only the same perfection as others, my heart will be left discontent. For such devotees as Nanda and Yashoda to reach only the same destination, to me, the very thought is intolerable. Commentary. Someone might propose that Sri Mathurapuri, like Ayodhya and Dwarka, may be located in Vaikuntha. The devotees of Radha and Krishna may thus have their Vaikuntha Gokula, where they can enjoy pastimes with the Lord and feel happiness greater than that of the Yadavas, just as the Yadavas enjoy happiness greater than that of the Pandavas. Uttara, however, is not satisfied with this proposal. She cannot tolerate having the devotees of Gokula categorized with other ordinary Vaishnavas. Text 23. Varied and countless excellences flow into those devotees like rivers into the ocean. Commentary. All varieties of perfection are fully manifest in the devotees of Gokula. Those devotees are perfectly beautiful, charming, and graceful, and they are endowed with the valuable assets of religious duty, economic development, sense gratification, renunciation, knowledge, realization, devotion, and pure love of God. All these perfections are present within them to the utmost degree possible for finite living beings. Whenever Sri Brihad Bhagavatam, whenever Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita depicts the glories of devotees lesser than the residents of Gokula, its purpose is to highlight the greater glories of the Gokula Vasis and demonstrate that all varieties of excellence flow ultimately into the residents of Gokula, just as the waters of all rivers flow at last into the ocean. Text 24. Therefore, a suitable place must surely exist for them beyond Vaikuntha. Please reveal it to me and rescue me. Commentary. In this verse, Mother Uttara sums up her inquiry. She reasons that there must be some place even greater than Vaikuntha, a place suitable for the enjoyment of devotees like Sri Nanda and Yashoda. That place should have certain qualifications. It should be devoid of thought that the Lord is the supreme, all-powerful controller. In other words, it should be free from awe and reverence. It should be attained. It should be unattained by flaws that impede the growth of ecstatic love. It should be invisible to those who are addicted to dry knowledge. And it should be approachable only to those dearmost servants of the Lord who delight in being caught under the sway of a prema untasted in this world or any other. That place should be the quintessence of attractiveness, a place fully enriched with the unique, indescribable bliss of transcendental rasa. It should be sweeter than the sweet, superior to the superior, describable only by great saints who forever relish the taste of Sri Krishna's lotus feet. Saints like Narada, for surely he must sing the glories of that place with his veena. Such a unique place must certainly exist, Uttara thinks, but because it is most confidential and I am not very intelligent, I am unable to ascertain its identity. Therefore, lost in an ocean of sadness, in waves of doubt, in deep currents of confusion, she asks her son, Parikshit, to reveal that place to her by describing it in words. By doing this, he will lift her out of the ocean of sorrow. Of course, the blessed district of Mathura, the best of all places, is already manifest on earth and can most certainly provide Sri Nanda and others the exceptional happiness of taking part in the Lord's wonderful pastimes. But Uttara has doubts because that Mathura is within the material world. Thus, she is asking whether another transcendental location exists for the pastimes of Krishna and his favorite devotees. To external vision, the modern residents of the earthly Mathura seem subject to the bodily transformations of disease, old age, and death, and so appear entangled in mundane illusion. Unlike the Lord's abode in Vaikuntha, the Mathura on earth does not seem to award immediate perfection to everyone who merely steps into it. So Uttara doubts whether the earthly Mathura is in fact the ultimate goal of human endeavor. As she suspects that at the time of the universal annihilation, or the partial annihilation of the three middle planetary systems, the district of Mathura may disappear. This question, raised by Mother Uttara, although subtle and therefore difficult, will gradually be answered by Parikshit through the story of Gopakumar. First, Parikshit will describe Sri Goloka in the spiritual world as the destination of Krishna's most intimate devotees. And then he will speak about the pleasure pastimes Krishna performs both there and in the Mathura on earth. Although the earthly Mathura is located within the material realm, it remains untouched by the influence of illusion, just as the Supreme Lord himself, his devotees, and his pastimes remain unaffected by illusion when they descend to the material world. As Sri Narada Muni will state later in Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita 2.5.55, the Lord's names, his pastimes, and his favorite abodes, and everything that has to do with his service can assume various forms. And you should know that just as all these are eternally real, each of them is simultaneously one and many. Yogamaya, the spiritual energy of the Lord, arranges for the present-day residents of Mathura to appear to undergo material transformations. The Lord's spiritual energy does this to delude the non-devotees and satisfy the Lord's devotees, just as she prevents non-devotees from feeling ecstasy even after personal audience of the Lord. The embodiment of highest bliss. This subject will be explained later in the narration of Gopakumar's sojourn in Tapoloka. Tapoloka. That the glories of earthly Mathura are hidden from ordinary eyes indicates the greatness of that abode. Indeed, the earthly Mathura and its glories are eternal. They are not destroyed even when the universe is annihilated. Devotees who think that Mathura may in the future disappear are mistaken, because in fact Mathura is beyond destruction, even by the Lord's ultimate divine weapon, the Sudarshan disc, which is the governing force underlying material time, the destroyer of the worlds. All the same, Mother Uttara is asking about some other supreme place, because the greatness of earthly Mathura is not at once perceived, and because many people have not heard about the wonderful activities the personality of Godhead displays there. In fact, the glories of the earthly Mathura in some ways surpass those of the spiritual planet Goloka. And Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita therefore will describe how Gopakumar, after realizing the glories of Goloka, learned about this from Sri Narada. The original personality of Godhead Sri Krishna descends to Mathura in this world with all his beauty and other attributes to exhibit unprecedented playful activities. And when the entire universe or the three middle planetary systems are destroyed, the earthly Mathura becomes invisible and merges back into Goloka. In other words, Mathura is not destroyed. It remains unchanged above the wheel of time. But because the Lord's pastimes are then no longer perceivable in Mathura on earth, it seems that the personality of Godhead continues to enjoy himself only in the corresponding spiritual realm, Goloka. And so Sri Goloka is considered the ultimate destination of spiritual endeavor. Sri Narada may sometimes ascribe to Mathura on earth glories even greater than those of Goloka, but that is not contradictory. Since the two places are in essence non-different, whatever is said about one of them is true of the other. Text 25. Sri Jaimini said, delighted by this most pleasing inquiry from Mother Uttara, her son, Parikshit, bowed down to her and began his reply. Tears poured from his eyes and his bodily hairs stood on end. Commentary. Parikshit will begin his reply by complimenting his mother for her excellent question and by offering respect to his worshipable Lord. That's 8 o'clock. I'll stop here. And please be patient with me because, you know, I'm spending 4 or 5, sometimes more, hours a day with Rasika Shiromani proofreading the Chaitanya Charitamrita audio files. Proof hearing, better said. And we have to be on it, every single word. If we say for instead of, or one word for another, we have to correct it. And it's very detailed and very demanding work because the mind has to be concentrated at every moment. So for that reason, I'm keeping my readings in the evening a little shorter. Please be patient with me. All the nectar is there and it will all continue until the conclusion. Hare Krishna. So I'm stopping here. And tomorrow we'll hear Parikshit thank his mother for her wonderful questions. Hare Krishna. So if there's any reflections or comments or discussion, please be our guest.
This is from Brian Swanson.
Braj Balaba. Haribol Braj.
Brian Swanson.
Braj Balaba is his name. That's okay. Hare Krishna. He's getting the hang of it, don't mind. Hare Krishna.
His Excellency humble obeisances are grace to Srila Prabhupada. I think an important point was just spoken by you. Every devotee is satisfied in their relationship with Krishna, regardless of rasa. Devotees are free from jealousy, which is the root cause of pain and lamentation. So this reinforces the prior point. We all feel happy when with Krishna, regardless of who is in what rasa.
Precisely.
Thoughts?
Well spoken. And not only that, but the essence of her question, or the end of her question, is because she's already heard the first part of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and that's talking about the different level, the different devotees, and their different rasas. And Krishna at the end said, don't you know they are all perfect? Because of what Uttara said here. She learned that from hearing that first part of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. But she's looking for the place that the persons who have the most intimate relationships with Krishna, where is that place? What is that place? And this is just hinted at in these questions. But the main purpose of this second part is to glorify Goloka Vrindavan and to prove that Goloka Vrindavan and Kukul Vrindavan on the earthly planet are the same. They're the same place. When Krishna comes to the earth, Vrindavan, the Braj, comes with him. So does Mathura, so does Goloka. But in the material world, he seems to go from one place to another. But in the spiritual world, he's in all three places at the same time, and the same pastimes are going on at the same time. And no devotee has to wait for him to show up. He's always there. And he can make himself visible and to everyone at the same time. So this is for this reason, Goloka Vrindavan is inconceivable, as is Gokula Vrindavan. Hare Krishna.
Gauranga
Gopal, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, all grace to Srila Prabhupada. I thought I heard somewhere that Arjuna was serving Krishna only in his pastimes within the material world. Is that so? And if yes, how to understand the statement heard here in the commentary that the Pandavas serve Krishna in Vaikuntha? Thank you for clarifying my bewildered mind.
Yeah, it's bewildered because both are true at the same time. We're used to being in the material world. We're used to being constrained by time and space. If a person's here, he's not there. If he's not there, it's not here. So Krishna's pastimes are going on in the material world constantly. And the Pandavas, they go to wherever Krishna is in the next pastime. And they stay in that. But that's not different than the pastimes in the spiritual world. That's the answer. They're both true at the same time. They're one and they're different at the same time. And once we grasp that achintya, beda, beda, tattva, and grasp the inconceivable energy of Krishna, then these kinds of seemingly contradictory comments or points will be reconciled within Krishna, within the discussion of Krishna consciousness. So if it's not yet clear or you can't quite grasp it, just be patient. Keep chanting your rounds. Keep following the principles. Keep tasting nothing but Krishna prasadam. And gradually, and reading these books, and gradually you'll understand everything because it will be revealed to you. This is revealed knowledge. It's not external knowledge. It's not knowledge that is attainable or achievable by logic and reasoning. At the same time, it's not illogical. It's translogical. And the essential truth is of Shinta Beda Beda Tattva, that it is simultaneously one with and different. Krishna is simultaneously one with and different from everything. So is his abode, and so are his devotees.
This is from Vamsi Vilas Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Vamsi Vilas. Haribo.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for another wonderful reading. Mother Uttar's question is wonderful and interesting to hear. It is very thoughtful of her to be. It is very thoughtful of her to be concerned that the Gokul passes shouldn't be categorized with the rest of Vaikuntha. She is not even satisfied for them to be on the same Vaikuntha level, even if they are enjoying greater happiness.
Yes.
It is also fantastic how it explains that all devotees other than the Gokul Vasis described in Brit Bhagavatamrita are there in order to contribute to the glorification of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. It is hard to understand for me that there is such a category as Gyan Bhaktas exist in Vaikuntha. It seems to be implying that they have some leaning towards knowledge which inhibits their reaching highest levels of prema. I think text 20 even used the word selfish.
Well, it seems like that because we're used to seeing things in this material world the way they are. But in the spiritual world, there are personalities, like there are Brahmins, right? They're Brahmins and they have sacrifices and things like that. But they don't, but the highest devotees, they're not concerned with those things. Even though they're all in Goloka. In Goloka they have a full spectrum of personalities and society. Full spectrum. They don't have sinful people. So they don't have low-lifers as we see here, bums on the street or, you know, intoxicated madmen, or people like that. But they do have a full range of social positions and relationships and everything. So what it's saying is that there are devotees in Goloka and in Mathura that appear to be acting like Brahmins. In a different mood than, you know, Nanda Maharaj and their servants, and the gopis and coward boys and their servants. So they may appear to be like that, but it's not like that. The apparent sameness is without any kind of pride. Therefore, the word eva is commonly used, as if. They don't have any pride. They just have a role in the society there and in relationship with Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates with all of them, and every one of them, no matter who they are, they're fully satisfied with who they are and what they are and what their service is. That reconciles that comment that even people that are like jnanis in the spiritual world are completely satisfied in their relationship with Krishna. Because in the material world, the jnanis are trying to become liberated and they're trying to attain knowledge. But in the spiritual world, there may be persons who seem to be in that kind of relationship with Krishna, but they're already there with Krishna. They've got nothing to attain. But they'll still chant their mantras and do the special ceremonies and everything that go on in human society. In fact, it's the source, the original prototypes of all of those things are there, and persons are there in Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna.
Gauranga Gopatu responded, "Thank you for your great answer. It seems that you know way more than myself where I am at. Still, on the same topic of trying to conceive the inconceivable, it seems always a bit confusing when expressions like devotees in Vaikuntha have achieved a particular position or rasa there, as in my mind it means that there is some kind of progression starting from a certain point in time, which obviously isn't the case as time doesn't affect the spiritual world."
Exactly. In the spiritual world, there's no past, present, and future. There's only eternal present. In the spiritual world, you know, in the material world, when you've done something and it goes into the past, that's it. You can't have it back. But in the spiritual world, you can replay the same thing. And it happens. Different pastimes happen again and again. But each time they happen, it's like the first time they happened. And even if you know the devotees, even if you know, have relationships, when you see a devotee, it's like you're seeing them for the first time. So the level of excitement and the level of fulfillment and the level of satisfaction is beyond our conception, as long as we're in the material world and are still conditioned by the modes of nature. So this is achieved by the special mercy of the pure devotee, mature devotional service. So in the material world, you know, people become mature by having experiences over a long period of time. There's no substitute for experience. That's why when you want advice about something, if you're intelligent, you'll go to someone who's experienced in that topic that you want advice about. But you can't, so there's no substitute for experience, but there's no way to become experienced other than having the experiences over time that makes you a wise person. But in the spiritual world, all that knowledge is there all the time and it's always increasing. Therefore, no one is ever bored. No one is ever restless. No one is ever... But still, even in that situation, because they're souls, they're individual living beings, there are living beings in Goloka that are not, they're individual beings, but they're expansions of Krishna or expansions of Radharani. But the individual living beings, they're there in all these different relationships. Hare Krishna.
Can I just read a comment from Brian?
Braj Balaba,
pardon. Maharaj, we have to offer humble thanks for not only reading to us, but more importantly, answering and guiding us. Without your insights, we may miss important points and become confused 100,000 obeisances to your service.
Oh, Krishna, I'm just blushing. I have to go now, it's 8:15. So thank you so much for your wonderful questions, and even though I don't know anything, by your mercy, you're bringing out things. I'll admit that I spent 5 years editing this book and learning how to edit at the same time from Jayadwaita Maharaj, and learning as much as I could, according to my capacity, from Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, who was an ocean of knowledge, very learned person, and very deep devotee of Srila Prabhupada. So if I have any credit, it belongs to Srila Prabhupada and them. Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita ki jai. Sama Bheda Bhakta Binda ki jai. Gaur Prem Anandi Hari Hari Bo. See you tomorrow night, same time, same place, same topic. We're going forward towards Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna.